This week, the one between Christmas and New Year's, is actually my most favorite week of the year. At our house, everything is a little bit slower and a little more peaceful, and it's a time where I get to catch up on reading and reflecting and then get hyped and dream about what could be in the new year. And we are almost there. We are almost officially to 2021, and I feel like congratulations are in order to all of us. It seemed like a weird goal to just make it through this year, even though with the change of date, not a ton is going to shift. But as I was praying and planning about what to share this morning, I kept thinking about what our stance is as individuals, as well as what it's going to be as a church as we start this new year. You see, the way that we start something really matters, and I'm a real big fan of fresh starts. I love Mondays and Januarys so much because everything feels new with tons of possibility, but I also know that new things and seasons can be scary, whether it's a new job, new stage of life, new school, and now a new year. With new things, there is so much unknown, and that can be really, really stressful. So the main thought this morning that we're going to wrap everything around is that our stance determines our reactions. The picture that immediately popped into my mind was of a professional baseball catcher. Now, those guys, they are ready at all times. They have no idea if a pitch is going to be wild or if there's going to be a foul ball, but in a split second, they are able to move and make a play. They are so zoned in on what their mission is and ready to react to anything. And you can trust me because I know a lot about this because I was also a catcher. So in the fourth-ish grade, I played softball, and after trying me at several positions where I was horrible, the coach put me in as catcher. Now, I was a super small kid, and the equipment was way too big, and I was also terribly scared of the ball, which always comes in handy in sports. So my stance while catching was like this. I literally closed my eyes the whole time, and the balls would just bounce off of me, and then I would get up and run to try to find it, but was always slightly disoriented and super slow and definitely never made a play. And I think there are probably a lot of us that are headed into this year a lot like me being a catcher and just trying to brace ourselves for whatever is next because we are flat out scared of the ball. And sometimes rightfully so because it hurts. We can let life just happen to us and then our reactions are not what we would want them to be but are kind of sloppy and erratic. But wouldn't it be amazing to not be afraid of the ball? Wouldn't it be great to just feel ready? See, there are three main differences between these two examples that I gave. There's confidence, there's training, and then the obvious talent. But we're just going to focus on the first two this morning. So how do we have confidence like that? The answer is, like all good Sunday school answers, Jesus. It's way more about who our confidence is in. Because if it's in ourselves or situations, those are going to disappoint all the time. We know that. As Christians, our confidence has to be built on Jesus. Everything in life is going to change and be uncertain, but He is always the same and can always be trusted. Now, there are loads of examples in Scripture that remind us of this because God knew we would need those constant reminders about who He is. Today, we're going to take a look at Hebrews 13. The book of Hebrews was written to a Hebrew Christian audience who was struggling with their faith. There was a rise in persecution as well as some just lack of maturity, and they needed to be reassured of what was true. So if you're looking in your Bibles, we're in chapter 13, verses 5 through 8, and it says, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, 'Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you.' So we say with confidence, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?' Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." When it says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, it doesn't mean that He is predictable. When we have our confidence and hope in Him, it also means that we're able to accept the mystery and creativity with the way He responds and moves in our lives and world. When we are confident, we are not thrown off by needing to pivot. And throughout Scripture, God is always surprising people. Even when we think about the arrival of Jesus on the scene, this was radically different than the entrance of the kind of deliverer that they had been expecting. You see, sometimes our confidence wanes because we have certain expectations and aren't as open or aware of the ways that God might choose to work or answer our prayers. Years ago, when John and I were doing college ministry, we had a worship night. We had these often, and they were the best nights. I was super amped up and ready to sing and connect with God that night. John had just been preaching a message about the story in the book of Acts, where Paul and Silas, who were missionaries, were singing in prison. And all of a sudden, there was an earthquake. So the ground was shaking and the prison doors flew open. And apparently it was an amazingly inspiring message. So good job, John. Because when we stood up to sing again, I was trying so hard to connect with God. I was on the front row, totally tuned in, singing super loud, hands up in the air. And I kept praying because I wanted to experience God's power like that. And for my life to be an adventure with Him. And then, you guys, the ground started shaking. I am not lying to you, it did. And I'm telling you, my heart was racing and I couldn't believe it. I was talking to God and I was like, "You're doing it, it's happening, I can't believe it." And I was so stoked, so I opened my eyes to see if anyone else was having the same experience. And then I saw that someone new had actually come in and stood right beside me. And it was this giant man, like huge, tall, and he was worshiping too. And he was jumping up and down, i.e. it was him that was making the ground shake. And I die laughing every time I think back to how just pure my reaction was, but how excited I was about that. But when I look back at that time that has passed since then, I see that I have experienced God's power in countless ways. And I really have been on an adventure with Him. See, God has been moving and answering those prayers of mine, but in a very different way than I was expecting Him to that night. I fully recognize that it is much easier said than done to have faith and trust no matter what. You might be trying really hard to have faith, but it's just so tough and confusing no matter how hard you might be trying. But I often recall what Micah, my high school youth pastor, taught me. It's what you can't do by trying, you have to do by training. Like if you want to go out and run a marathon, you can't just decide to do it one morning and go out and just try really hard and have success. You have to train for months and months and prepare your body and endurance as well as your mind. And so we need to train ourselves. And here are three places where I think we can start to train. The first one is to learn Jesus. In verse 8, it says that He is the same yesterday and today and forever. And that's great news if you know what He was like yesterday. If you don't know what He was like, then it's going to be hard to find His relevance today, and even harder to look forward to what forever could mean with Him. A lot of us don't react with confidence because we don't really know Him. One of my favorite teachers and evangelists, Michael Frost, says this. He says, "My concern is that many Christians seem to have developed merely a passing knowledge of the Gospels, what I call Jesus's greatest hits, His birth, His death, His resurrection, a few miracles, and a couple of parables. If we are to figure out what Jesus would want us to think, be, and do here and now, we must know the Gospels forward and backward." So let me be clear, neither myself nor Michael Frost are suggesting that we ignore the rest of the Bible. The point is that we need to know who Jesus is, like really know. The Gospels are the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they are the accounts of Jesus's life here on earth. So I'm going to encourage you to set aside time every week to study them. Go through them slowly. Ask questions. Talk to people about what you're learning. If you don't have a study Bible, then get one or email us and we would love to give you one. I am talking to myself here too because I am really guilty of this and I want to stop skimming the life of Jesus and really dig in because it is the best way to get to know him. So we can start with those gospels, of course, but there are also other resources out there too on how we can learn Jesus. We can read other books that were written about him and watch movies or TV shows about his life. Clearly, no book or movie is going to be able to capture a perfectly accurate depiction of his life and have perfect theology, but they can help us to remember and to imagine what he was really like. They help us to become more curious and infuse more of learning Jesus into our everyday lives. I really believe that when we become more curious about him and start learning about him, then we also become more excited. And as his spirit then does work in us, we truly do know him in a full way. I picture there being this like excitement and confidence in knowing him and our reactions, like how Buddy the Elf reacts when he hears that Santa's coming. It's just so excited and pure. And you know the scene I'm talking about. He's like, Santa's coming. I know him. And so I want that to be my reaction when I hear things about Jesus. The second thing that we can do to build confidence is to create a new filter. So we all have a filter, but how do you filter what gets thrown at you or the thoughts that you're struggling with? Do you filter what you're going through a Jesus lens or filter or some other one? My mom taught me this as far back as I can remember. She taught me that there was power in the name of Jesus. And so whenever I was scared or worried that I could just say his name, even if I didn't know what else to say, and it trained my mind to filter things through Jesus so that I could gain a new perspective. We're trying to train our kids in the same way. And so we taught Ruby this little song called Fear Not that's from the book of Isaiah. And it says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine." And we sing it before she goes to sleep. And she knows that if her or any of her stuffed animals get scared, then she can just sing it. And now it's the coolest thing because several times we've just walked by her room and she's been singing to her stuffed panda named Pearl, who gets scared pretty often. But when we are trained up, that is what naturally comes out of us when we're scared or anxious. And that's what we're seeing in her already. So whatever we're struggling with, if we're training ourselves to use that lens, things will start to change in our reactions. Bonnie St. John is a gold medalist in the Paralympics for downhill skiing, amongst a ton of other accomplishments, and is one of the most mentally tough women ever. And she wrote a book called Micro Resilience. And she talks about this hack in it that she uses called Reversi Reframe. So this tool that we can use is, it's like when we think that we can't do something, let's just say, I just don't have enough time to exercise, that I would write it on the back of a note card. And then on the other side of that note card, I would write the opposite. I do have enough time to exercise. And then I read it out loud. And just by saying it out loud, it teaches our brains to start being creative and thinking about possible solutions. So that's a great hack just in general. But that same idea, or maybe even that exact note card method, would be great for us to use to build that Jesus filter. For me, this reframing can look like being stuck behind a super slow driver. And instead of getting angry, thinking about how God might be using their speed to protect me from danger up ahead. Or maybe it's being in a crowded grocery store and super frustrated with long lines. And instead, I remember that Jesus might want to use me to be an unanxious presence to the people working there. Or that my time may overlap with someone I haven't seen in a long time, and there's a chance to reconnect. Those things might not even ever happen, but they train my heart and mind to look at every situation from what his perspective could be. And when we are looking for God to move, we are way more likely to see it happen. Those are some just lighthearted examples, but earlier this year, our son Max was in a bike accident and had some pretty substantial injuries. Now, he is fine now, but he was in a ton of pain and had to miss out on some really fun stuff. And it would have been really easy to just be annoyed at the whole situation and all the pain that he was in. But As me and him were taking a walk together one night, he was sharing how even though it was a bad situation, that it made him understand a little bit about how it must feel for people who have disabilities or illnesses that keep them from doing what they would want to do. And now he has a different perspective and thinks this experience will help him to remember that and be more aware and sensitive to what people could be going through. So as I reframe, I can see that Jesus is cultivating character in him, which in turn builds my confidence in the way he's responding to my prayers over my kids and for what I ultimately hope for them. See, the point of reframing a situation through a Jesus lens isn't to minimize pain or belittle what we might be going through, but it's to speak truth into that pain, that he will never leave us or forsake us, and that we can say with confidence that we don't have to be afraid, that he's using all of it. And when we have that perspective, then our eyes are open to seeing how he might be working. So what situation or thought pattern in your life do you need to reframe with a Jesus lens? The third thing that will help us with our ready stance is to pay attention to the lives of others. In verse 7, it says, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." We are not in this alone. We don't have to figure out every new challenge in a vacuum. So part of our training needs to be paying attention to others that know Jesus and whose faith we trust, because we can see the fruit in their lives. When my confidence wavers, I can look at the lives of my parents or the countless adults that have poured into my life, and I see how they trust and follow Jesus through some pretty wild times. And I'm immediately encouraged and reminded of his faithfulness and that this is real, that he is real, and that he isn't going to leave me. There are people here at Hill City that have been following him for decades. There are pastors and teachers, discipleship coaches and kids small group leaders that all have stories to tell and wisdom to share. And the same Jesus that walked them through cancer or infertility or depression or deep loss is the same Jesus that you and I have access to. So another question for you this morning is, who do you have in your life to look up to in the faith? Whose example do you have to follow? And if you can't quickly rattle off a few names, then it's time to get more connected and have some seasoned Christians teaching you and speaking into your life. In chapter 11 of Hebrews, it's called the Faith Hall of Fame because the author takes the time to remind these readers who are, remember, struggling, that many of the giants' faith that came before them, he knew that they would need to be reminded of how God used and spoke to so many of them. Our faith has a rich history that has extended even past what we read in Scripture, and there's so much to learn from the history of the church in addition to those who are around us now. And I was reminded of this week because I was listening to a talk the other day with this wonderfully brilliant woman talking about church history, and it was riveting. It was more than I could possibly have time to share here, and I'm not an expert on this topic, but now I want to be. She was sharing how this crazy time that we are living in now is so much like the 5th century, and she was kind of laughing about how obvious it was. But you see, Christianity had 300 years of persecution when it started out, and then, for the most part, the Roman emperors in the 4th century were Christian, so that meant much of the empire was as well. But then in the 5th century, the Visigoths attacked, and it was horrible. And what happened was that the people that were still attached to the pagan religions started blaming the Christians for what happened. And then the Christians were shocked that this horrible thing could happen to their Christian nation. And there was this weird historical blame game that was happening with the church and culture, and it was a huge period of deconstruction of faith. And in the middle of it was St. Augustine, who was shaping a new culture. And she went into way more detail about what his life looked like and what he learned. But I was so struck by how much I have to learn and by how rich this history is. And it started getting me so excited that we have access to it and we can learn about it. I was challenged by her faith and confidence in what God has been doing throughout history. And it made me want to be even more of a learner. And then I was inspired to learn about our church fathers and mothers because it can help to inform how I am to live my life right now in this context, even though it seems so different, because Jesus is the same. We are part of a larger story, and no matter what we are going through, whether it's personally, communally, or culturally, it's nothing new. And there are others that have been there, and the same Jesus that brought them through is here with us. So let's be people who are willing to learn and study and imitate the faith of our teachers and those that have come before us. We will be so much stronger for it. So, what could it look like if we really knew Jesus, if we were able to filter everything through his lens and then paid attention to our teachers and those that have come before us? What if we had the training and confidence to come at whatever is next with a stance of being ready and unafraid? This is not a Christian reference here, but I imagine that it would have an effect kind of like Ted Lasso, but infinitely more amazing, obviously. So we have probably all watched more TV this past year than we care to admit, but Ted Lasso is the show that I really do want to tell you about. I am not vouching for the moral integrity of all the characters, so please hear that. But the premise is that he's an American football coach who is hired to coach a soccer team in England, which he knows nothing about. Ted is an eternal optimist and just a lovely character who brings out the best in everyone around him. And even if they don't even initially know what to do with him, they end up loving him. He's so strong in who he is and seems unshakable in what he knows to be right and in the way that he cares for people. And America is really loving this show. I was listening to a podcast where Brené Brown was interviewing the two creators of the show, and they were talking about how this has made such an impact because it's so different from other shows. See, most TV shows or movies have a main character that goes through a ton of change and has a lot of messed up qualities, and you see their character develop. There's this like big character arc as the plot moves along, but this story is different because the main character doesn't really change that much, which could conceivably be a boring concept. But what we see happen is that everything and everyone around him change. And that's what makes it so powerful. His character and focus is so strong that people are drawn in and they want what he has and they want to be a part of what he's creating. So can you imagine what would happen if all of us had this stance of being ready to pivot and change and react in a way that Jesus would want us to as we work to build his kingdom? What if in every place where we lived, worked, shopped, or were a student, we were so confident in who God was and who he made us to be that everything around us changed and people were captivated by the story we were telling with our lives? I think it would be really, really beautiful. So here we are coming into 2021, and hopefully we can enter in with a lot less of this and a lot more of this. And I'm going to end today with some of Jesus's words from John 16:33. He says, "In this world, you will have troubles, but take heart. I have overcome the world." So would you pray with me? God, we thank you so much for all of the ways that you have been faithful and showed up throughout this whole year, but God, also for the examples that we have in our lives and in the lives of those that have come before us, where we can look and see your faithfulness and see how you have never left us and you have never forsaken us. So God, I ask that you would help us to be people who can say with confidence that we do not have to be afraid. God, I pray for those that are fearfully stepping into this new year. I pray over those that are just anxious or have experienced such pain. I pray that you would just pour out your peace and your courage so that we would be able to look to you and truly walk into this year ready for whatever comes, knowing that it might be hard, it might be good, it could be so many different things, but we know that no matter what, you are with us. And God, we pray that for our entire Hill City community. We pray that we would be a light in this city and that you would use us to change everything around us for the better, and that people would be drawn into you and to your kingdom because they look at the way that we are reacting to what's happening all around us, and that you would shine through all of it. So God, we lift up this week as we prepare for the start of a new year. And God, we just ask that you would move in a powerful way. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thanks so much for being here with us this morning. And like I said, if you are new, we would love the opportunity to get to know you. And please reach out if there's anything that we can do, that we can pray for you or answer any questions that you have. And we will see you back here next week. Thanks so much.